sometimes people would assume that my music is traditional, and it would be just like laughable because I have nothing traditional, because I actually started in a metal band. They would just put their own ideas, because somebody like me, I'm not allowed to define myself. People are going to define me.
I'm Laura Quiñones, and you're listening to Amplify Her, a new podcast from the United Nations with support from SoundCloud. Over this 10-part series, we'll meet some of the most exciting women musicians working around the world today and discover their music, as well as what makes them tick. On this episode, we meet Emel, the Tunisian singer-songwriter. Emel came to prominence in 2012 during the Arab Spring, when a video of her performing her song My Word Is Free during a street protest went viral. Her music was banned by the regime, and she became known as the voice of the Tunisian Revolution. 3 years later, she was invited to perform the song at the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony. We caught up with Emel in Paris shortly before a series of international performances. Over the years, Emel's musical journey has led her to incorporate electronica and digital glitches, but it was clear from talking to her that she hasn't lost her revolutionary spirit.
I have always been engaged, and I have always been a rebel. I've always felt like this huge weight of dictatorship and people. It always like made me sad that on a daily basis, it's obvious that people weren't thinking. People weren't like encouraged to have their own opinions, and people were just going along with it. And I always found that very annoying, and I always wanted to fight that. The minute I found my thing, which is music and performing and singing, I just connected the dots. I decided that that would be like the medium I was going to use to speak about being really fed up with dictatorship. At that point, it wasn't even political. People's brains were just conditioned to not think and not evolve and not create. So that was like my first battle, just to push people to think, to have their own opinions, and to create and push doors. And eventually, that would lead to a revolution. I have a strong sense of roots. It hasn't been easy. I think I built it over time, but I also like being rootless. I like just belonging to whatever place feels comfortable, whatever place feels happy to me and creative. I think that's very important for us human beings, to not get too much stuck over one vision of identity or one vision of what's home. I feel also as an artist, I have the responsibility to just be as diverse as possible and be as welcoming as possible. My daughter was born in New York, and the little one was born in Paris last year. I'm somewhat French. I don't have the paperwork, but I think I've lived enough here and enough French culture around me that allows me to say that. Hopefully someday they will welcome me officially. I am lost. I can't be sedentary for a long time. I tend to like start feeling anxious when I'm too long at the same place, but also when I'm too much on the road. I tend to like miss being home. I also enjoyed being in Tunisia for 2 months when confinement happened, but also I spent a lot of time upstate New York, which I now consider home. I used to consider Paris home, but since I came back, I think I kind of like miss New York City. I think artistically I had like a very big shift when I moved there. I felt that I was able to do anything and that I was allowed to do anything I wanted, to experiment with all the sounds I wanted. You could meet anybody at any time. It's a kind of a energy, some energy that's present there that make collaborations and encounters possible. So I think I could say that New York State and New York City are my home. That's what it feels like now. There's a lot of magic about being on tour and traveling, like with your music, is that you make all these encounters like on and off stage. It's extremely dynamic. I think also my music tends to draw people from completely different spheres and backgrounds. And I think that stays with me. So for a long time, at the same place, I feel like the world is leaving me behind. I always have that feeling, which might not be true because even when I'm home, I'm always working and interacting. I have good feelings towards Tunisia. It hasn't always been the case. I think what really stayed with me from my last trip, the amount of love and respect that people have towards me, the way they speak about how my music inspires them and about my battles and the path I chose, it really made me feel like, okay, I actually did something. I wasn't even thinking that a revolution was going to be possible. To me, like working on people's mentalities and people's thinking was going to be a long path. Obviously, like the revolution came as a surprise. Not too much of a surprise either, but extremely amazing that it finally happened.
Educated but unemployed young man kicked off a month of unrest in Tunisia.
Protests which ultimately forced the president from power, an office he had held firmly for 23 years.
Many are angry the country's new unity government is made up of mostly old guard politicians.
As an artist and as a thinker, it's never going to be, oh, it was better before. I will never say that because so many things have changed. Some of them changed for the best, for sure. Like people speaking, freedom of press, freedom of people. There's like so many artists like creating and producing like it never was the case before. We accomplished a lot of things, and I like the fact that for people what's really important is their survival, their quest for a decent living, for employment. There's still a lot of corruption. We're definitely going through a huge economic crisis. I don't exactly know where we're heading. And the revolution, it only happened 10 years ago. It should still be going on. It's very important for me that Tunisians listen to me and pay attention to what I do. The sad part is I don't get to perform as much as I would love to. That's like repercussions from being politically and socially engaged and having like strong things to say with justice and truth. So I think that's kind of the price that I'm paying, which is why it really means even more to me when, despite this invisible censorship that's been going on for years, I still get to like be connected, stay connected to people and really speak to them in their daily life and open doors for them, imaginary doors, spiritual doors. I sum it up to empathy. I think it's probably the key when we're empathetic, when we show solidarity. The problems always come from individuals trying to just get all the power, trying to get all the money and all the consequences of all of that. But at the same time, there's a lot of individuals that are working towards peace, towards empathy, towards helping people in need. So we just have to be aware of our own power and try to translate it into good actions. The West tries to always hold people like me that are not from Europe, that are not from North America. We are just put in a box where the only sources of interest towards what we do is whether political or exotic. And I think it's just like totally unfair. If I don't sing in English, if I sing in Arabic, people just put this like invisible fence and they will not try to get to what the music is saying or to what the sounds are speaking. They would just put their own ideas because somebody like me, I'm not allowed to define myself. People are going to define me. Sometimes people would assume that my music is traditional and it would be just like laughable because I have nothing traditional because I actually started in a metal band. And like the novelties are always coming from the West. But we can be pioneers of rock and roll, of electronic music, of metal music, just like anybody else. Probably I wouldn't be talking like this a couple of years ago, but right now I'm at a point where I had this like huge reconciliation of everything that I did. Because at times I'd be like, if I just started making techno music or if I just started in a metal band, maybe I wouldn't be running across all these like complications. But at the same time, you know, like I don't want to be ashamed of being a revolutionary. I should be proud of that. I should be proud of every facet of who I am and what I did. It's not just this crazy race to survive as a musician or to exist in this like crazy music industry. There's much more to that. There's just people's lives and making it better, inspire them to do their own things, their own creations. And I think that means the most to me.
That was Emel. On the next episode, we meet with another artist with North African heritage, Fausia. Raised in a small town in Canada, Fausia never lost touch with her Moroccan roots, thanks to her parents. Amplify Her is dedicated to women and girls everywhere, particularly to those whose dreams and aspirations are unfulfilled due to discrimination and oppression. The empowerment of women and girls is an essential part of the UN's mission. You can find how the UN is fighting for gender equality worldwide on our website news.un.org. Amplify Her is hosted by me, Laura Quiñones, and produced by Connor Lennon. Sound design is by Garrett Crowe. This episode was made possible by Dan Yocum from Partisan Records and ML. Thanks to Mita Hosali, Victor Evans Harvey, Matthew Wells, Mark Petimesas, Fang Cheng, Gretchen Corcuera, Takako Nagumo, and Eric Mendez from UN News. And thanks to Sean Alexander, Emma Lenz, Lauren Holden, and Heather Mundinger from SoundCloud. Amplify Her is a UN News production with support from SoundCloud.